It's good to be back before you and to talk to you. As this morning, we want to teach a lesson concerning looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of people are called role models, and we're supposed to look to them. You talk about a role model, you want to follow somebody, you pick Jesus. He should be all of us' role model. As we taught in the Bible class, the Lord is our shepherd. He is our role model. He is our guide. So we need to look under Jesus, our role model. We sing the song, He the great example is and pattern for me. We can't watch him on TV, but we must read about him in the book. And I read a few years ago that we're not a reading nation. Not a lot of us do a lot of reading, but if we hope to hear God's word, that's what we're going to have to do. And I realize you can get it on tape and CD and whatever, but you're going to have to take the time to hear it and read it for the Lord to guide us and for us, as verse 2 suggests here in our reading in Hebrews chapter 12. And thank Larry for doing that good reading. Our faith is compared to an athletic contest as we run with patience or we run with endurance. Therefore, in one sense, it is a long distance run. In other senses, we recognize how brief life can be. When you're young, you think you've got all of your life, and that's what you hear. You've got all of your life ahead of you. Wow. Then you get a little bit older. As David said, I once was young, and I'm going to have to admit it, I don't know if I can stretch middle age into the nearly 70s or not, but I'm going to have to admit it, aren't I? I once was young, and now I'm old. Paul Rockwell, I am old. I'm catching up with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we run it with discipline and determination. That's what a long-distance runner has to do, doesn't he? If you've ever run a long distance or walked a long distance or done anything that took a while to do it, you recognize it takes determination to do it. You cannot throw in the towel. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not, Galatians 6 and verse 9. We got to hang in there. We cannot quit. Long-distance running is both an individual and a team activity. Yes, I have to run my life as an individual, but I need you. I don't think some even here recognize the necessity of having each other. At home, when one of my brothers was not there, or if one of my parents was not there at the dinner table, we knew where they were, or if we did not, we found them. We wanted to be there. And when those days passed, there were times when we'd like to go back there and to do those days over again because they were such, we called them the good old days. We must want to be here. I said we run this race alone. We win or lose the race alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 24, Paul said, know ye not, don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain that prize. Now, in this case, in our run, only one is not going to win. All of us who finish this race are going to be winners. We're going to receive that prize. In a physical race, there's only one winner. He continues in 25 of 1 Corinthians 9. And every man that striveth for the mastery agonizes for it. Anybody who does anything challenging is going to agonize. He's going to pay for it with maybe his own blood, with his sweat and tears. Long-distance runners sometimes have blisters on their feet while they're running. They burst and they bleed while they are running. In pain, yes, but they continue running. You know why? Because they are looking for that goal. One champion said, I picture myself on the top rung and the man putting that gold medal over my shoulders. If I lose the gold, he said, I will lose the race. I will lose the race. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, not collectively, but individually. I'm going to be there. Paul says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The things that this body has done, whether good, I'd like for it to stop right there and just say, Lord, I'm going to give you all the good. Is that what's going to happen? Not only the good, but the evil. Your tongue, your mouth, on your knees, you will confess to him. I remember thinking as a little kid, how in the world is God going to do that? All the billions of people, what a judgment day. You know, that day it doesn't matter how long it takes because eternity never ends. Me as a little kid wondered about things like that. But he's got that taken care of. Romans 14, 11, and 12. Individually. 2 Corinthians 5, as we mentioned, individually. 1 Corinthians 9, running that race. I'm running to obtain in that race. Every man that striveth for the championship is temperate in all things. A literal physical runner, he doesn't go down to McDonald's and scarf down a big milkshake and two or three fries and supersized and triple burgers or whatever and then run that race, does he? He's temperate. He's temperate. He knows what he has to do. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Have you ever gotten a blue ribbon? If it was very long ago, where is it? You ever get a trophy? There's been some things that are so long ago, I just threw them away. Got tired of packing them up, holding them onto them for my sentiment. Important for a while, temporary, yes. But I'm seeking an incorruptible crown. How about you? One that is undefiled and that fadeth not away, Peter says. We run this race as an individual. Then we must run it together. Are we brothers and sisters? We call each other not as titles, but as a spiritual relationship in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes we treat each other like we could care less. And we can do that to our own physical and literal brothers and sisters. Be that cruel and unkind. Running it together, encouraging. We mentioned Hebrews 12 and verse 12. For the hands that hang down and the knees that are weak, lift them up. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if you see a man overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. How? In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In verse 10, we must do these good works, as we have therefore opportunity. As you see, do it. Be a doer, not just a hearer of the work, and work to hold each other together. You know, I thought in the athletic sense, if the coach had told us, Mo, we're just going to practice all year. We're not going to have any games. Curtis, would you go out and play? I wouldn't. Just practice, practice, practice. What? No, I practice so we could play the game in front of the crowd. And when you have the crowd there, you can jump higher, you can throw harder, you can run faster because they're cheering you on. Well, didn't he say here in Hebrews chapter 12, we have a great cloud of witnesses? And you look up that word cloud, it is a sky-encompassing cloud. It is filled with all of these witnesses that ran the race before us. Suppose the great champions, running champions of the past, Roger Bannister and fellow named Ryan, I can't remember his first name right now, the long distance runners, that they were in the crowd and they were cheering for you, would that escalate you? Make you run harder, faster, try? Yes. Well, look at those who did it before, the Abrahams, the Jobs, and that list could go on, the Davids, Esther and Ruth and Sarah. Wow. Did they have some hard times? Sure they did. They ran it alone, but they also ran it together and cheering for each other. Cheering for each other. I talked to a lady several years ago. She was in what she said they called the endurance run. And that was with horses, where they had to ride 100 miles. Imagine that. I rode 2 hours the other day. Woo! Still walking funny. I can't imagine 100 miles. She said, my horse comes to a point, and everybody's does, comes to the point where he says, sorry, I can't take another step. She said, you know what I have to do? And preachers are always looking for illustrations. She said, I have to get off of my horse, go around to his face, put my arm around that great neck of his, and say, come on, big fella. Patty, come on, you can do it. We can do this. Come on. She said, sure enough, I can get back in that saddle and he'll take off again. Through that encouragement, and sometimes we let time slip through our fingers. We know there's somebody that we could call and encourage. Well, what do I say? I don't know what to say. Boy, how about encouraging them? How about saying, we sure miss you all. Did you know there'd be a lot of church buildings filled with people if we'd just taken the time to be holy? To say a few things to encourage these weak knees and the feeble arms that are hanging down, that are so weak. Ah, but we don't want to get our nose in somebody else's business. If you love them, you will. If you saw your child riding his bicycle toward this busy street, would you? Oh, I sure hope he doesn't get hit. Or would you do any, well, my neighbors, if I shout and scream, my neighbors will think fun. No, you won't be worried about that because you love that little one. We know what Jesus did for us. And that 100-mile race, to finish is to win. That was their motto. To finish is to win. You finish the 100 miles, then you have won. And when you see somebody slowing up, what if it were you, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted? You go to them in the spirit of meekness. Not, man, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't straighten up. Now, that day may come after some admonitions. Listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, scribes, Pharisees. There came a day when he had to call them what they were. He came to them softly and tenderly, as the song suggests. But when the time came, he needed to drive the nail home. You're going to die. That day may come, and you have the courage. And if you have the courage to call them when you first see them stumbling, then you'll have the courage to, and the love to go after them when they don't return. From great spiritual runners, we can learn. Paul says in Romans 15:4 and 1 Corinthians 10:4, 10:11, we can learn from these examples. That's why they were written. I can learn about them. We can master our circumstances, many of which are beyond our control. Sometimes we see or hear people say, well, you know, that poor old boy didn't have a chance. Just look where he was brought up. Look at the color of his skin. He didn't have a chance. Look, he didn't get an education. And so there's no wonder that he failed. And I know I've told you this about Sammy Davis Jr., but it fits here as well. Black entertainer, what, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and maybe even earlier, was with the so-called Rat Pack, and he's with them still. He said a fella came into his dressing room complaining, another black entertainer, about, oh, he said, I've just got it so hard, so terrible. He said, I just sat that boy down and gave him a good lesson. If you want to fail, you can fail. If you want to use those excuses, yeah, go ahead. Just dress him up. best you can. But he said, you think you've got it rough? He said, I am short, and he was. I am skinny, and boy, was he ever. He said, I am black. I'm blind in one eye. I'm a black man married to a white woman. He said, I'm a Jew. He said, you think you got troubles? Could he not have used any or all of those excuses to say, well, I'll never make it in show business, poor me. And I can do the same thing with Christianity. Well, I never had a chance. I was treated so bad when I was a child. We were so poor. And on we can go with that and just pity part of yourself right into hell. That's not going to make hell any cooler, is it? We need to tell people sometimes to get over it. Look at Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Esther, and Paul, and Jesus. Did they not have problems? Could they not have thrown in the towel? We mentioned Galatians 6 and verse 9 in our Bible study. Be not weary in well-doing. Why did he say that? Because you can get weary. You can want to throw in the towel. One version says, do not flag. When I read that, what? In the cowboy movies, the fellow always had a white handkerchief. When it was time to give up, he tied onto his rifle and wave it. He was flagging. He was throwing in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Be not weary in well-doing. We all have our problems, and we can all make excuses if we want to. And we need to find our talents. Ken, Janet and I were talking this morning. What are our talents? What are they? And I was telling her some of hers. And we need to hear that. We need to encourage others. Well, I can't lead singing. You know, I'm not very good at this. And Larry Starkey, bless your heart, you got over your fears, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, buddy, I was just as nervous when I got up here this morning, even the second time. But that's good. That's good. You do better. And you can do it. You can do it. I noticed that Jesus never talked about a no-talent man. 5, 2, and 1. And that no-talent man, oh, that's me. No, that's not going to work, is it? We all have our talents. And we better be hurrying up and finding out what they are. Instead of saying, well, bless my heart, I don't have anything that I can do. Find that talent and get to work at it. And you know what you'll find? You have more than you think. More than you think. Verse 2 in Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus. Literally saying, look away. He's not right here. We can't. Well, we know where he is at the right hand. Isn't that where Stephen saw him standing at the right hand of God in Acts chapter 7? What about verse 60 or so? 59? That's where he is. That's where our king is, where our shepherd is, the good shepherd that we talked about, where our high priest is, where our Savior is. And one day he will be our judge. Wow. Looking unto Jesus, we need to glance at these faithful witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11. So many, the writer says, they cannot be named. Man, we've got a great cloud of witnesses. Are they, as it were, cheering for us? Are they like that lady with her horse? Come on, Mo, you can do it. Fight through whatever the temptations are. Get over it. God will help you. Does he love us? I mean, we can memorize again John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah. For God, put your name in there instead of the world. Put your name in there. God so loved Mo. Put your name right there. That makes it more personal that he gave his son. I don't know that I could do that. Give a sinless, spotless, perfect son for me. Ooh. What a challenge that would be. God told through the angels, told Lot and his family to do what? Leave and don't look back. Genesis 19. What was the last thing Mrs. Lot did? It may be the last thing that I do. As I look back. Look back into the world and see all the pleasures that the devil says. Do you think when the devil promised Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth that he would have given them to him? What does he promise you? And does he give it to you? Again, we ask, how's that working out for you? And the problem with living in sin, well, somebody says, it's my life, it's my body, I can do what I... You're hurting other people, but you don't care. And that's the problem with sin. It's just S-I-N, me. Again, I'll do it my way. Jesus is the author. He's the captain. He's the finisher. And didn't he say that on the cross? It is finished. He finished his work. He came to do that work, and he followed it. 1 Peter chapter 1, 21 through 25 tells us what kind of a role model he was. You think he couldn't have come down off of that cross when they were making fun of him? Oh, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Oh, yes, he could. My response to that would have been, I'll show you. What would that have done for me if he'd have done that? Oh, he says, God's his father. Let's see what happens. Now they're making fun of his father. How long did you put up with that? The author and finisher of our faith. The most difficult aspects of long distance running are staying with it. Through the long, long race, the long hours of training, all kinds of terrain, over hill and over dale, up and down. And going down the hill is sometimes just as bad as going up. You ever think about falling? You ever run down a hill like that? And with the little hills that you all have here, I wouldn't know why you'd ever. You've been coming down a hill. Even walking is hard, isn't it? Dangerous to fall? Sure. Weather conditions, bodily weariness, pains that we've talked about earlier, discouragements. Do you have discouragements as a Christian? When somebody fails to live as they should, oh no, did you hear about brother? Oh no, left the church. Oh, somebody has to be withdrawn from. That's discouraging, isn't it? But you have to pick yourself up. You have to go on. Jesus was faithful, Hebrews 12 and verse 3. In the face of tremendous organized persecution. Imagine the throngs yelling. Do you know what crucify means? Could you yell that? Crucify! Drive nails in his arm, his wrists and his feet. Ah, the hatred they had for the perfect. Did he finish the race? Yes, he did. This marathon runners, 26 miles, said you couldn't drag me that far. And they do every mile in less than 5 minutes. Every mile, 26 miles in less than 5 minutes. I think I can walk a mile if I'm walking real fast in maybe 15 or 20 minutes. I don't know. And that's on level ground. Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Give up whatever it takes to reach your goal. Jesus gave up heaven to come here to save me and you. What can I do for him? Well, Paul says it this way, Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't follow the pattern of the world. Young ladies, I know you're going to be tempted and tested to dress like the world. Short dresses, ooh, that's sexy. Oh, don't say that in the pulpit, like you haven't heard it. We act like we're running out of material. I can't find a dress decent. Well, learn how to sew. Learn how to sew. And moms and dads, you teach your children from their youth. From their youth. What they are to wear. And that's what Ecclesiastes 12:1 says. Remember now thy creator. Parents, don't you have a hand in that, in their youth? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, don't look back as David did and say, oh, why did I do that? You know, I thought I was going to be in high school forever. Excuse me. Back in 63, a big tall man handed me a little slip of paper and said, see you later. Yes, sir, and it will you too. Whatever temptations, remember, is the Lord our shepherd we talked about? Are we looking unto Jesus? We wear the bracelets of rubber bands around our wrist, WWJD, and forget what it means. What would Jesus do? I know what he would do. And if you don't, you're going to conform to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you doing? Guys, you too. That means you don't go out and mow your yard in your shorts and no shirt. Now, maybe when I was younger. But my parents taught me better than that. I found a pair of shorts. Somebody had given us some clothes, and I found a neat pair of shorts, and I just started wearing them around the house. Mom said, uh-uh, not going to happen. You know what she said? You get to wearing them around here, and you will get comfortable in them here, and somebody will knock on the door, and, oh, let's go play ball. And you go right with them, and you'll be there. Preacher said, these walking shorts, you know, trouble is people get tired and they sit down. And they cross their legs in their shorts. Well, you get in the picture? They're even shorter. Again, somebody else said, I'm just saying. Would Jesus do that? For the joy that was set before him of Hebrews 12 and verse 2, how could he endure the cross? How could he lie there and see those spikes? Not an 8-penny or 16-penny nail, but a railroad spike driven through his wrist. And then there's the other one. And then there is his feet. And then they're going to drop him in the hole. And that after the beating. Let me just say, I'll put a bag over your head and I come up to you and use your head as a punching bag. You can't duck that punch, can you? You don't know it's coming. What's that going to do to you? What have you done for me recently, Lord? Do we forget? When the devil says, come on, come on, come on, go with me. And I don't have the courage faith and the love for the one that died for me to stand against the tempter? Is there any good word that describes the devil? Can you think of anything? You take the letter D off of his name, what do you have left? And if you don't follow him, you turn the word devil around, what do you got? Lived. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow him, you will have lived. Great long-distance runners have the ability to concentrate on the goal ahead. How are you doing? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? That's how he could die there. That's how he could accept all of that. He wasn't blinded by the temporary pleasures of this world, materialism, greed, envy, whatever it is, popularity. Looking unto Jesus. Are you looking unto Jesus? Past your present problems and the persecutions and the temptations that lure us? And then when you have followed through with your lusts and desires, what did they bring you? Do you look back in Psalm 51 and 3, my sin? You ever consider that? David wrote that down. There's not a day that I don't think about that, what I did. And look at the awful, awesome consequences of it. Paul could say, I'm ready to shove off. I'm ready to pull up the tent. I'm ready to go. And when they were about to take his head off, you know what he was saying? I'm the winner. Young people, you will be tempted to go where you shouldn't go. Yes, you will. You will be tempted to smoke things you shouldn't put in your mouth or to drink things you should not drink. Yes, you will. And they'll be saying, the gang over here, read Proverbs chapter 1. They'll say, come with us, come with us, come with us. If you don't, you're going to stand over there by yourself. I want to tell you to make the stand. Don't look back and say, oh, Mom, Dad, I shouldn't have done that. Or go ahead. Go ahead. Don't listen to some old long-winded, loud-mouthed preacher. I won't say that. Go ahead. And you can do like David. You may not write it down, but you will say, my sin is ever before me. And you'll be thinking when my mom and dad went to their graves that they went with that thought as well. And you can't stand over grass and a tombstone and say, I'm sorry for what I did. I didn't mean to hurt you, but you did. Go ahead. Go with them. Go home and beg mom and dad, oh, I'll be kicked out of the group if I don't go and if I don't dress like they dress and I don't. And sometimes mom and dad cave in. Okay, honey, I love you so much. No, they do not. What are you loving, the popularity? Are we looking unto Jesus? In a race, I learned that you couldn't line up the wrong way. Everybody's facing this way, and here's Mo. I may run the same track. Wrong direction. I may beat him. Excuse me. What was it, that woman that took the bus in the marathon? Remember that? Be sure your sin will find you out. Did they catch her? Hey, I saw her on the bus. Yes, you did. Yeah, okay. She got caught, and let me say, so will we if we do that. If we're not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Read Hebrews 12, 1 through 7. We've not suffered like those in chapter 11 did. You talk about terrorists. They have terrorists? Yes, sir. Paul was one of them, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. They had the fear, but they met anywhere they could. They met in caves. Is it air conditioned? Is the cave air conditioned? I don't think I'll go. I don't know how far we are away from that. But every nation that's done what we're doing is headed in that direction where we may have to hide to serve God. We may have to walk to somebody's house because we park out in front of their house. They're going to say, uh-oh. We may have to meet in the dark. But we will meet, will we not? I like that. Because if they kill us, we won. We want. They can't hurt us. You want to be in that army that follows the Lord? Running this race as an individual, but collectively, and I say, I know you're here. I know you'll be there. I know you're with us. And the Lord is with us, most importantly. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, what did he command for me to do? If I love him, he says, I will keep his commandments. Read John 14, 15, and 15 and 14. Either way, you get the idea. Let's do his will. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I want to do it, and I hope that you do too. I want to go be with the one that died for me so I can live with him. But we must live for him now so we can do that. To arise as Paul was told and to be baptized and to wash away our sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you've done that in the past and fallen away, then you need to return and do not hesitate. Make that return today, right now. Kevin, while we stand, while we sing.